When I was preparing my sermon and reading the gospel for this Sunday, I couldn't stop thinking of a photograph that I had seen years ago of civil rights activist Rosa Parks. Ms. Parks lived in segregated Alabama in the 1950s, where she had to drink from a certain water fountain. She couldn't use the same entrance or sit in the same section at movies as white patrons, and she had to sit in the colored section on city buses. After working all day one day in December of 1955, Parks boarded a bus in downtown Montgomery, Alabama. She paid her fare, and she sat in an empty seat on the first row of the back seats, directly behind the seats reserved for white passengers. As the bus traveled along its regular route, all of the white-only seats became filled. And the bus driver noticed that a few white passengers were standing up. So he moved the colored section sign behind Ms. Parks, and he demanded that four black people give up their seats so that white passengers could sit in them. Years later, in recalling the events of that day, Rosa Parks said, "When that white driver stepped back toward us, when he waved his hand and ordered us to get up out of our seats, I felt a determination cover my body like a quilt on a winter night. The driver wanted us to stand up, the four of us. We didn't move at the beginning, but then he says, 'Let me have those seats.' And the other three moved, but I didn't." She said she thought of a young black boy named Emmett Till who had just been horrifically killed by white men, and she didn't give in. Parks said, "When he saw me sitting there, he asked if I was going to stand up, and I said, 'No, I'm not.' And he said, 'Well, if you don't stand up, I'm going to have to call the police and have you arrested.' And I said, 'You may do that.'" She said, "I did not want to be mistreated. I did not want to be deprived of a seat that I had paid for. It was just time. There was an opportunity for me to take a stand and to express the way I felt about being treated in this manner. I had not planned to get arrested. I had plenty to do without having to end up in jail. But when I had to face this decision, I didn't hesitate to do so because I felt that we had endured this too long. The more we gave in, the more we complied with that kind of treatment, the more oppressive it became." 3 days later, the famous Montgomery bus boycott began and lasted for 381 days. During that time, dozens of public buses stood idle for months, severely damaging the bus company's finances until the city repealed its law requiring segregation on public buses. Rosa Parks set her face toward Jerusalem. Nobody, no one, no unjust law, no amount of hate, no amount of fear, not one thing could turn her around. A 5'3", 42-year-old black woman born in Tuskegee, Alabama, helped ignite a movement to turn around a massive system of injustice and oppression. Today's verses in Luke begin the second part of Jesus' ministry in this gospel. Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem, and from here on out, things won't be the same. Jesus' journey to the cross can't be stopped now. He is resolute. He is certain. And this determination to fulfill his role of breaking the bonds of death, of sacrifice, an example in the face of injustice and oppression, must have been wrapping him up like a quilt on a winter night, surrounded by the love of God, his Father. He knows, and he tries to tell his disciple that this journey is urgent. It will be difficult. Jesus knows that the road to Jerusalem and the cross is a counter-cultural endeavor because it will involve nonviolence and suffering for the sake of others, refusing comfort and privilege and status for God's mission of the world. That God's love for all of creation inspires Jesus' purpose and his single-minded mission for justice, love, and reconciliation. And all of humanity has Jesus to thank for the sacrifice, for his unfaltering love for us, for his resurrection and our salvation from the oppression of sin. He turned his face toward Jerusalem. He just kept on going. I used to run a day camp in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, out of the cathedral there. And one year we took a group of neighborhood kids to the Civil Rights Museum. And it was just right down the street. Inside there was a restored city bus that looked just like the ones that used to run in Montgomery, Alabama in the 50s. And visitors can go inside and they can see what it's like to sit on that bus. And there's a few seats that when you sit in them, it activates a speaker where a bus driver tells you that you can't sit there and you need to move in the back of the bus. It's very startling. And this group of kids was delighted by the fact that they could sit on something and activate it. Maybe they were giggling and maybe not quite getting the depth of this exhibit. But one girl came up to me later, and she was clearly disturbed by this and some of the photos in the museum of violence against civil rights protesters. And she said, "Did anybody really get hurt?" And I said, "Yeah, they did. But they were determined to make a change. They were determined to let themselves be an example that segregation was wrong." She let that soak in for a minute. She got really quiet, and she nods her head, and she says, "My mom always calls me determined." And then she skipped off and joined her friends. And I've often thought about her. She'd probably be about 18 or 19 now. And I wonder if she stayed determined. She'd have to be to get up and get out of that neighborhood that she grew up in, where violence is the norm and drug dealers run the streets. I want to picture her wrapped in a blanket of determination, being the nonviolent presence in a world changing hearts and minds, shining a light on injustice and poverty and making us all see it for what it is, a system that works against the kingdom of God. I want to picture those little determination blankets wrapped around people all over our country, people that are suffering from poverty and institutional racism and xenophobia and all sorts of things that oppress people. I want those oppressed to be empowered and to hold the world accountable for injustice. And as a disciple of Jesus, I want to be part of his reconciling work in this world by recognizing my own privilege and my own part in this system of injustice, by advocating for the vulnerable, for loving God and God's creation, for standing with those who turn their faces towards Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians in our reading today, and really all of us here, that we are called to freedom and all things and systems that do not align with God's justice. Following Jesus means facing the cross and living the counter-cultural gospel, love, reconciliation, and the end to economic, social, and physical oppression Because until we can all sit anywhere on that big old bus of life, we will not be living the gospel. We will not be living out God's dream of true freedom. Amen.